This spring, if you'd rather spend time enjoying your lawn instead of trying to keep it alive, there's good news. TruGreen is the easiest and most affordable way to get a beautiful lawn. All you have to do is water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and even some things you might not even think of. They'll do all of it, while you can do literally anything else. With True Green, you could have your lawn looking as good as a putting green. That's not hyperbole. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. True Green offers a satisfaction guarantee, and they have a verified best price promise, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people guaranteed.
CBS Mornings on this Wednesday hump day. I'm Gail King.
I'm Nate Burleson.
And I'm Vladimir Dutier.
The severe weather that is pounding the South, at least two tornadoes, including this one, tore through New Orleans and the surrounding area. At least one person was killed and many more were injured. The town of Araby, that's just east of New Orleans, was hit especially hard. The homes knocked off their foundations, the debris scattered far and wide. Our lead national correspondent, David Bagnos, is in Araby with more on the story. David, I know this is your home state. How's it looking? What are you seeing?
Listen, my friend, we were driving around assessing the damage when we rolled up on this, a school bus tossed like toys. In fact, there are two on this street right behind Araby Elementary School. Now, on average, a school bus weighs about 25,000 pounds. That's how powerful that tornado was. And then watch this. Across the street, I said, wait a minute. Where do those stairs lead to, right? The steps, where would that go? And somebody said, oh, that used to be somebody's front door. You'd come here and walk in the house. I said, well, where's the house? They said, that's it. The tornado picked it up, moved it off its blocks, and literally shoved it about 5 yards with the people who live there inside. The first tornado hit the New Orleans area right after dinner time, about 7:30 p.m. local time.
Dude, holy.
That is what it looked like, a tornado moving through a major American city, New Orleans. This is what cut through parts of New Orleans and moved into nearby St. Bernard Parish. The twister moved through New Orleans's lower Ninth Ward without doing much damage. But as it touched down in St. Bernard Parish, it was devastating. James Dickerson was in his home in Araby, Louisiana, with his 5-year-old son.
And the house started shaking, and then when it pulled the roof off, I was, you know, sheltering him, and then it was pulling me off the ground.
His house is now ruined.
Dining room here. You know, I had bookcase, you know, anyway, there's the front door, was there.
Oh, that was a church.
The damage in St. Bernard Parish is widespread. Power lines are down everywhere. Streets are littered with debris that is actually pieces of people's homes.
It's the porch of my friend's house. It doesn't have a roof anymore.
This tornado spawned from the same weather system that originally started in Texas on Monday and caused extensive damage there and in Oklahoma and now three other states along the Gulf Coast as the line of weather moves eastward.
We heard it coming down the street. It was a lot of whistling.
Back here where we are in Araby, Louisiana.
You know, I'm just glad mostly everybody seems to be accounted for. I think there was a couple of issues a block away from us, but other than that, you know, we're safe.
Look, meteorologists here in the New Orleans area say surveying the damage preliminarily, it looks like the tornado could have been an EF2, EF3. That would put winds near 165 miles per hour. Nothing official yet. Crews will be back out today. But that's how powerful it appears to have been. Nate, back to you.
David, thank you. Those severe storms are headed east, threatening some 30 million Americans today. For what to expect, let's bring in meteorologist Jim Cantore from the Weather Channel's global headquarters in Atlanta. Jim, a busy day yesterday, and it looks like another one today.
Do we need to remind everybody it's only the fourth day of spring, and three out of those 4 days have had either tornadoes on the ground or warnings like we have already this morning? Holy smoke. You can see the kind of storm reports that we've been looking at. And if you just take the reports over the last couple of days, 32 on Monday and then 26 yesterday, and let's say all those become tornadoes, that's over half of what we see for the whole month of March. So holy smoke, we are off to a heck of a start. Let's go back and revisit this New Orleans tornado, though, because, of course, last night the sun's about to set, and all of a sudden we get this what we call long-track supercell. Those are the types of storms that produce the tornadoes. Moving up through New Orleans, all right, Araby, the Ninth Ward, and then eventually all the way up toward the eastern side of Lake Pontchartrain, at times showing some very, very strong rotation. And that's one of the things about the new radar that we can look at. We can actually see the rotation. You see that with the red-green couplet. This is going to reset for you in just a second. Look at what's going on. Jean Lafitte, then just southeast of the city center in New Orleans. Boom. That rotation maximized itself out. And we had those ominous-looking pictures, a lot, of course, of the local TV stations showing it on their cameras. Today, our focus shifting to the east, also up to the north. Don't forget about Ohio and Michigan. Some of the same parameters that exist for tornadoes in the region across the south also exist on up to the north. So here's the radar. Looks like it's going to be an active afternoon. The atmosphere will continue to moisten from North Carolina all the way down to Florida. So it's going to be one of those humid days, but it's not as humid in Ohio, Michigan, but we have better parameters in terms of cold air loft and spin in the atmosphere. And that's where we're going to see some of those isolated tornadoes, hail producers as well. All hazards are in play. Of course it is. It's springtime, and that's what we get with thunderstorms. As I mentioned, March getting off to a big start here with spring. We only go up from here, Nate. The biggest months for tornadoes will be likely April and May. You can catch live coverage of severe weather all day on the Weather Channel Television Network.
As always, Jim Cantore on the show with everything we need to know. Thank you.
My pleasure, buddy. My pleasure.
And now to Capitol Hill, where Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson did as much listening as speaking yesterday during her Supreme Court nomination. Several Republican senators questioned her on issues that matter to the party's voters, including critical race theory. Over 13 hours, Jackson was also asked about her philosophy. Nicole Killian was on Capitol Hill, where the hearing continues this morning. Nicole, good morning to you. I went out to dinner last night, got home at 9. I couldn't believe she was still sitting there. What a very long day for the judge.
Yeah, and it could be another long day for Judge Jackson, Gail. But look, the White House and Democrats are dismissing some of these questions from Republican senators. They say they crossed the line and are even pushing on smears based on conspiracy theories.
Out of the gate, Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson addressed the elephant in the room.
As a mother and a judge, I was thinking that nothing could be further from the truth.
Jackson refuted debunked claims by Missouri Republican Senator Josh Hawley that she issued lenient sentences in child pornography cases.
We're talking about 8-year-olds and 9-year-olds and 11-year-olds and 12-year-olds. He's got images of these. The government said added up to over 600 images. Help me understand that. What word would you use if it's not heinous or egregious? How would you describe it?
It is heinous. It is egregious. What a judge has to do is determine how to sentence defendants proportionately.
It wasn't the only issue Senate Republicans raised, as Texas Senator Ted Cruz also brought up critical race theory, questioning Jackson's role on a private school board.
Are you comfortable with these ideas being taught to children?
Senator, I have not reviewed any of those books.
When Senator Cruz was asked how this is relevant to the Supreme Court, he said critical race theory is divisive.
There's too much division in our country, and I think it is concerning if we have justices who are embracing that view.
But by and large,
I think you're doing very well. And as you can see, this is a bit of a tough place.
The majority of questions from both sides of the aisle centered on Judge Jackson's judicial philosophy.
I do not believe that there is a living constitution. I must admit that I don't really have a justice that I've molded myself after or that I would. What I have is a record.
A record that almost brought the judge to tears as she talked about the challenges of balancing motherhood.
I said in my opening that girls, you know, you've had to deal with me juggling motherhood and job responsibilities, and I didn't always get the balance right. And so I would hope for them, seeing me moved to the Supreme Court, that they can know that you don't have to be perfect in your career trajectory and you can still end up doing what you want to do.
Back to some of those questions from Senator Holly. He doubled down, telling me he thought Judge Jackson's responses were excuses and that he can't vote for someone like that. But in the end, it may not matter because Democrats don't necessarily need GOP votes to confirm her. Vlad?
And there will be more questions today. Nicole Killian for us. Thank you very much. There are new signs of progress this morning in Ukraine's fight against Russia. Russian forces are still devastating communities by air, but citizens are banding together to keep them at bay on the ground. Holly Williams is about 100 miles west of Kyiv, talking with some of those people who are fighting back. Holly, good morning.
Good morning. From the air, Russia continues to rain death and destruction on this country. This school was hit by a Russian airstrike earlier this month, according to Ukrainian officials, though nobody was killed. But on the ground, Ukrainian forces are on the counteroffensive, while Russia is struggling to supply its troops with fuel and food, according to a senior U.S. defense official.
This video appears to show a column of Russian military vehicles being lured into a trap in the town of Voznesensk earlier this month. Helping with the ambush was a shopkeeper, Alexander.
Красавчики!
You little beauties, he shouts. Nearly a month after Russia invaded its neighbor, its ground forces have made surprisingly slow progress. Ukraine's military says it recaptured the town of Makariv on Monday, a key strategic gateway to the capital, Kyiv. And across Ukraine, ordinary people have mobilized to defend their homeland. At this checkpoint, we met Anatoly, a pig farmer.
Okay, loaded.
Armed with his own hunting rifle. He told us the biggest thing he ever shot before was a goat, but now he's ready to fight the Russians with an improvised bomb shelter dug out by the roadside.
This is your protection from missiles and airstrikes.
They've got tire spikes and other obstacles to stop a Russian advance.
These are to throw in the way of the tanks and disable them.
I'll show you.
And Vitaly, a greengrocer, showed us their homemade arsenal of Molotov cocktails.
Would you be willing to give up some of Ukraine's territory for peace?
It's impossible to give our territory away, he told us. I won't agree to anything else. Ukraine's fighting spirit is breathtaking. The ingenuity and bravery of its people, extraordinary. But from the air, Russia is leaving carnage in its path. This hospital was decimated by a Russian missile strike on Monday, say Ukrainian officials, killing three.
And Russia has even deadlier weapons at its disposal. In an interview yesterday, the Kremlin spokesman Dmitry Peskov repeatedly refused to rule out using nuclear weapons if Russia faced a, quote, existential threat. Gail.
Holly, I am so in awe of the Ukrainian people. The love and the passion they have for their country is like nothing I've ever seen before. I'm so glad you're telling these stories. Thank you, Holly. President Biden heads to Western Europe this morning, where he will meet with NATO, European Union, and G7 allies to find a solution to the growing crisis there. The president will also visit Poland, where more than 2 million Ukrainian refugees have fled since the Russian invasion. Ed O'Keefe is in Brussels. He's with the president, where the president will start his trip. Ed, this trip seems to have come together very quickly from those on the outside looking in.
It sure has, Gail. Good to see you. In fact, it's come together so quickly that NATO is officially calling this an extraordinary summit, because it normally takes months, if not a year, to arrange for the 30 world leaders to get together here. There will also be meetings, as you mentioned, of the G7 and the European Commission. And what's on the agenda? Well, among other things, they're going to be talking about new sanctions against Russia and also finding ways to bolster the ones that have already been put in place to make sure that oligarchs and others being targeted don't evade the punishments. The president is also expected to talk about making sure that Europe becomes less dependent on Russian oil and natural gas. Also likely to be some talk about military deployments by NATO closer to the region. And Ukraine's leader Zelensky is expected to virtually address the meetings. Remember, Ukraine has been pushing to become a member of the European Union and NATO, but is not currently a member of either alliance.
Hey, Ed, the president's also heading to Ukraine's neighbor Poland. I know you know that, but what do we expect from that part of the trip?
Yeah, remember, they are on the front lines, and they've absorbed more than 2 million refugees since this crisis began. So the visit is, in essence, a thank you to Poland for shouldering so much of this humanitarian crisis. The White House says the president will meet with Poland's president. He'll give formal remarks about how the free world is responding to the crisis and helping Ukraine. And don't be surprised, though nothing's been officially announced, that he meets at some point with Ukrainian refugees. The irony is that many Americans back home, of course, are starting to go back to work after the pandemic. Well, this is a president who says he prefers face-to-face diplomacy over those virtual calls he's been holding over the last several months. He'll have plenty of time for gripping, grinning handshakes and face-to-face conversation in the coming days. Gail?
Yeah, face-to-face, always very important. Thank you, Ed.
I'm CBS News correspondent Major Garrett, host of the podcast Agent of Betrayal, The Double Life of Robert Hansen. During the Cold War, FBI agent Robert Hansen traded classified secrets to the Kremlin in exchange for cash and jewels. In the podcast, you'll hear from Hansen's closest friends, family members, victims, and colleagues for the most comprehensive telling of who Robert Hansen really was. Binge the entire series now. Agent of Betrayal, The Double Life of Robert Hansen is available on the Wondery app, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.